for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out.
On today's show, a slice of American pie.
In a new feature to Shout Out, Sheer Kofi takes a look into what's going on across the pond.
And out to swim.
Michael Newby is here in the studio to tell us all about this 80-strong swimming team.
I'm Steffi Bonnet. I'm Ezra. And I think he's Andy Shelton.
And this is Shout Out Radio. Such a consummate
excuse
professional.
Excuse me, my name is copyrighted.
Sorry, Stephanie Barnet, Radio DJ.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of suing you.
Okay, good luck with that.
A double F, double T.
Yes, yeah.
Steph.
It's triple F, I think, now. She's adding an F just for,
Fortissimo, I think it is.
Yeah.
She gets louder as she gets older, is that what we're saying?
You brought
this whole conversation
bring
up.
Bring it on. Bring it
it's
on.
It's all your fault.
It's always my fault.
Oh, dear.
How are we all?
Not bad. Not bad. It was really nice today. It was some summer. Well, not summer, but there was sunshine.
It was quite
been freezing,
January,
though, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, cold.
You're literally like, oh, I could go out in a t-shirt, open the door, no, you
no.
can't.
No, absolutely
You don't
not.
Go out in a t-shirt in the summer, you're still in your big jumper, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah, or a shirt, at least yeah. a shirt and
so all the hot air comes out your mouth, yeah. that's why.
Wow, okay, no. I can see how this show's going to go.
I'm just
because I've got you next to me and Stephanie Barnett opposite me.
I'm just getting it in before we start, because you told me before we go on air it was the You Show.
I did. Yeah. So I'm so humble. you were concerned about co-presenting with me. Oh no, don't do that. That's haunting. Put the music back on. I don't like it. Thank you.
So you say you don't want to do an air show then?
No, not like that. I need at least a background jingle.
Do you?
If it's going to be all about me, I still need songs.
Is background jingle a euphemism?
Yes, it is now. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We've got a really packed show today.
Are you changing the subject now?
Yeah, I am a bit.
So yeah, no, we have. And we got a first of a new feature that we've got coming that Steph's been working on with the lovely Sheer Kofi. Of course, there's nothing going on in America at all, is there?
Absolutely nothing.
We haven't just got blamed for a plane crash at all.
No.
I don't know if you saw the news.
No.
We've been blamed, have we?
Well, yes, basically.
Apparently because, DEI.
Black people, brown people and LGBTQ people are to blame for the accident, according to
Trump.
Mr. Trump
genuinely stood up and said that was the cause, and the reporter queried it and said, so do you have evidence of that? How do you know? And he said, because I have common sense.
Yeah.
These are white supremacists, basically.
Basically.
So,
can we talk
about Thailand instead?
Oh, yes, because they've done a really good thing, haven't they? Go on.
They've done two really good things.
Go on,
yes.
Tell the audience what they've done.
They've legalised same-sex marriage, and they have put money aside for HRT for anybody transitioning on their public health service.
Brilliant.
Well done, Brilliant. Thailand.
It's nice to see some countries going forward while others going backwards, isn't it?
That it truly
loads
is.
Loads of them got married. Did you see? Like when the marriage.
Hundreds, wasn't it?
It was I've forgotten that because we did
didn't
have
they,
that here.
Didn't they, to make it work and make the law go through, they had to have 1,439 marriages within 24 hours of the coming into law?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know that. They did have that number of marriages. I know that.
Yeah, that was that. There's a cut off that to make it law. There has to be a certain amount of use.
That's amazing.
Oh, and they met that.
Get married once was enough for me. I'm not doing it 1,449 times.
Yeah, I was just imagining the expense of over 1,000 weddings, because yours was pretty spectacular, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, but, I mean, the problem is, your wedding is always the best, because it's your wedding, you know. I mean, it's probably one of the few days in your life you get to be really selfish.
Yeah. I got a bit seasick, though.
Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with the boat.
I reckon that was the
booze. I was about to say. I got married on the SS Great Britain. For those of you who don't know, that's the reference there. That is, yeah.
Otherwise, that would have been
which
even more
which is actually in dry dock and doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, it was moving.
It was funny because my best man, Paul, as well, was really worried because he gets horrendously seasick. And I had one of the blue and yellow water taxis going around with the wedding party on it before. He did like had a bar on the back and it sailed all the way around the harbour. And they're like, he couldn't come on that because he just would have got too seasick. And even getting on the boat, knowing full well it was in dry dock, he went sheet white walking up and onto it. He was that seasick.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know when you suffer when it does that.
I think it was everyone rocking from side to side to make him feel welcome.
Anyway, do you want to introduce this new feature? Tell people a bit more about it?
Yeah, I thought that we really need a monthly input from the States. And I thought Shea Coffey was absolutely up for it. And it's an absolute superb first piece from her.
I don't think she's ever going to figure out how to condense a whole month into a 10 minutes each month, which
she
is what
will.
Trump's going to do, but you know. We'll,
so.
Here's the lovely Shea Coffey.
Hi, I'm Shea Coffey. Back in the 90s, I lived in New York, and it's a love affair that has lasted for 30 years. I'll be here once a month talking about LGBT and US politics, and let's start with the big one. How did we get here? Hi, I'm with Jason, contributing writer to the Philadelphia Gay News. Is that the biggest LGBT press in the States?
It's not the biggest. It's one of the longest running, been running since 1976. But as far as circulation, I think the Washington Blade has a little bit more on us, unfortunately.
The question that everybody wants answered. How the hell did we get here?
I think we got here through a combination of advances in culture and politics, some of which have been great for the LGBTQ community, some of which have been detrimental. I think we as a community are representative of the rest of society as well. We have all the good, we have all the bad. We have people who are addicted to the same media sources and don't branch out. We have people who don't pay attention to what's going on and therefore aren't educated and sometimes aren't voting. So we've got the same issues that I think every community in America has. And we turned out pretty well. We voted 85% for Kamala Harris, but people, I think, forget we have an oversized share of culture. We produce a lot of art that people consume, but that doesn't mean we are the majority of the population. You know, we're only around 7% of the population. Maybe 70% of us vote. So that isn't enough votes, I think, to swing the election, despite 85% of us voting for the Democrats. So we're here now and we're taking it day by day. Every day seems like a new executive order or a new law. Most recently, you know, our Secretary of State just said that passports with gender markers labeled X can't be issued anymore. So that's a risk for a lot of people, especially people who are hoping to leave the country now because of things that are happening. So we've got a lot to deal with. We've done this before. We've done this throughout history as a community, dealing with a political climate that is not friendly to us. I think the risks we face now, though, is as I said, we are so entrenched in our own media ecosystems that even if you are the most informed person and you are consuming news 24/7, it's still tough because you're not consuming the news that the majority, sadly, the majority of voters consumed in this last election, which are a lot of the podcasts, a lot of the YouTube channels, especially the white male influencers that I think had an oversized share of pressure on voters this time around. A lot of us aren't consuming those. And so we don't know what other people are thinking. We don't know how to sort of bridge that gap and how to figure out, okay, how can we tell people who maybe don't know us well enough, you know, we are not a threat to society. We're not going to ruin anything. Giving us passports is not going to cause the downfall of America. So we've got a lot of work to do. I think we can do it. But again, it's day by day.
What do you believe the wider population of America
was voting on, because there's been a lot of talk about woke culture and what cut through at the election for your average person?
I think that's a multi-part question. I think the things that voters who voted Republican were voting on were quality of life as they see it. And that means sort of immediate surroundings. That means gas, that means groceries, that means basic business expenses, that means household expenses, all those things. They were also voting on a candidate who they felt they knew better than the other one. Sadly, politics in this country is all perception. And you can have the most amazing policy proposals, you can have the most amazing team, you can have more advertising than your opponent and still lose, because if people see you, they're going to make an opinion in 20 minutes. They're going to decide whether they like you or not, and that's going to be it. And so the majority of Republicans, I think they know Donald Trump. They think they understand him. They think that, you know, he's a straight shooter. They think that he's going to do everything that he says he's going to do. And that's what they were voting on. The other part of the question is, what were Democrats not voting on? So why did Kamala Harris get fewer votes than Joe Biden? Because if she had gotten Joe Biden's number of votes, she would have won. So what were Democrats not voting on? And I think the main issue that I saw as I was knocking doors in October was Gaza. I think a lot of the younger voters were very concerned about what was happening in Gaza, and Kamala Harris didn't take a strong stance and stand up for the Palestinian people strong enough to get those voters out. The other thing is, as I was door knocking, men were just not terribly enthusiastic for Kamala Harris. That's one of the saddest things I have to say. But every door I would knock on and a white man would enter, they would just be like, I guess I'm going to vote, or I'm not super jazzed about voting. One man actually, when I was knocked on his door, got chided by his wife in front of me and said, I can't believe you're not going to vote. Like, duh. And so hopefully she swayed his vote. But it was very sad to see this in the weeks leading up to the election. Just the enthusiasm was not there for Democrats this time around. But again, both parties are going to vote on perception. So some Democrats perceived Kamala Harris as more Biden and didn't feel jazzed on voting. And most Republicans saw Donald Trump the way they see him, and they thought that was okay.
How do we start the fight back?
I think the first thing people need to realize is there's too much happening right now. So if you try to pay attention to every single thing that Donald Trump is doing, you're going to get overwhelmed, and it's going to be hard to formulate a game plan. So I would say consume news as much as you can consume without your brain exploding. Take note of the executive orders that you understand, and start donating to organizations that are fighting back, so including ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center. But more than that, I think one thing people need to realize is when government institutions are under attack, which they have been more than ever in just the past week, the first ones that are going to go are the ones that aren't used too much. So if you're worried about your library getting closed and you're not a member, join your library. That's one of the simplest things you could do. If you're worried about book bans, start supporting the opponents of the people who are going to fight back at the school board. If you're worried about the next election, start finding those candidates. So those are a couple simple things you can do. But again, I think the biggest thing is to not be overwhelmed by the sheer amount of things that are happening right now, because it's very easy to just listen to news 24/7 and have your brain shut down, and like you're not going to realize what you should do. So again, take news in, but don't take too much news in, because it's going to be ineffective, I think.
I want to end on a positive note. Is there one?
I think there always is. I think there's always a positive note. There's a couple different things that I think people can be proud of. We've got our first trans member of Congress, Sarah McBride, who is very savvy. I think a lot of people, when the Speaker of the House banned bathrooms for trans people in the Capitol building, a lot of people were expecting her to make a statement, to go to the bathroom, to maybe do a social media splash, to, you know, get people riled up. But you know what she did? She didn't. She said, I am going to abide by the rules. Those are Speaker Johnson's rules, and I respect them. That's a long-term strategy. That's a strategy saying, I'm here to stay. I am not going to ruffle feathers, because I want people to understand, number one, I'm going to have the same rights as every other congressperson. And if I break the rules, some of these rights are going to get taken away from me. So I'm going to play it smart. I'm not going to ruffle any feathers right now. There's a time and place for that. So I think I'm happy to see a savvy congressperson like her in Congress. I think you've got gains all across the country. You've got LGBT people being elected in Kansas, being elected in Montana, and those are smaller communities. So I think it's important to note that politics starts at the local level. So if you walk around your community and you see people that are exciting, you can be proud of that. You can be happy about that. Politics is not just national, despite the 24/7 media claiming that it is. So it's good for everybody, I think, to get involved in their community, because you'll find things that, you know, are going to be surprising in a good way. And then also the positive is that we have three tiers of government. And so hopefully we could see the other two tiers in action. It's a little bit scary, because you see the legislative branch kind of bending the knee to their president. It's hard to say our president. I guess I'll say our president. But you see the legislative branch bending the knee to our president. But we have a judicial branch that hopefully will stay strong and hopefully surprise us. We've got Supreme Court cases coming up that I'm not super convinced that the three Trump appointed justices are always going to vote for him and his issues. So that's a thing to be hopeful for as well. And again, we've got culture up the wazoo. We've got culture that is making it easier for young LGBT people to come out, making it easier for them to be proud. So I think we can always be proud about that. And again, we've got our neighbors who, like I said, you need to get out in your neighborhood, meet people. You're going to be happy. You're going to be excited. And it's going to make the next 4 years a lot easier to deal with.
Jason, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Jay.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
One of Lucy's favourites, that one, isn't it? Although I think you were too busy sorting out the news to be dancing along with that one today.
Sorry, I was busy dancing. I just had to get down off the table. People might not know, we actually do have a pole in the BCFM studio, and I was doing my Chapel Road moves on it.
I'll be your turn next.
Oh, great.
One of Terry's favourite pastimes too.
Pole dancing. It's a long time. And a very large pole.
What about you, Stephanie Barnet, sneaking away in the corner? Do you like to twirl around a pole? Not a maypole.
Actually, in Club 46 in Old Market Street, when I used to, in my clubbing days, there was a pole.
There was a crow's nest, sort of fake ships, sort of lookout nest.
I used to wrap myself around that pole during Take On Me. Because as soon as I walked in, the DJ saw me, put that on, knew I couldn't resist it, so that was it.
And do you remember there were no...
So they got a free pole dancer, is what you're saying, basically. Yep.
There were no locks on the ladies' toilet doors. So I remember one of my friends that I brought down from Cardiff, she was sat on the loo doing a business with a leg up pushing the door.
Oh, yes.
So glamorous.
I swear, we need to do it like a sort of people's history of the Bristol queer club scene.
I'm not sure half the stories I got would be broadcast.
We could do two versions. We could do a before dark and an after dark.
We should do the after dark slot. Midnight.
Yeah, mine would be a bit of both, I think.
Probably anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Go on then.
Got the three of them tonight.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
On Monday, 27th of January, Holocaust Memorial Day was marked across the democratic nations of Europe on the 80th anniversary of the liberation of the most notorious fascist extermination and forced labour camp, Auschwitz-Birkenau. the BBC News Channel transmitted parts of its breakfast programme from the ruins of Auschwitz. The German state, under the control of the fascist Nazi Party, conducted mass murder on a scale never previously seen in history, killing over 6 million people of Jewish descent, some 500,000 gypsy people, around 12,000 gay and gender nonconformist men, 5,000 communists, socialists and political opponents, and also instigating a world war that led to the additional deaths of around 50 million people across the world.
There was further coverage in British and European media on Monday about the 80th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz concentration camp in the latter days of the Second World War, as the Red Army of the Soviet Union, part of the Allied group of countries, pushed the fascist powers of Central Europe back towards their Nazi stronghold of Berlin. ITV's Good Morning programme spoke with one of the few remaining Holocaust survivors, a woman who had kept her experiences from even her family until relatively recently. Sky News also interviewed survivors and discussed the ways in which we need to remember the horrors of fascism. The gay political commentator Andrew Pearce on ITV said that eternal vigilance was the price of freedom and that liberty and urged people to unite in the spirit of democracy and that historic triumph over fascism in 1945.
DJ magazine Mixmag reports that podcast The Daisy Chain, which showcased women's and non-binary talent in the dance music sphere, has come to an end. In a letter entitled An End, A New Beginning, posted on the Daisy Chain website, founder Alicia Greco confirmed the Mix series had reached its conclusion, writing, "Daisy Chain, in its current form, ends, in the hope to make space for a new beginning. There are new seeds ready to be planted when the time is right." They add, "The message and the community remains the same with the whole new intention. The Daisy Chain podcast was created by the Chicago-based Greco in 2017 and quickly earned adoration from electronic fans due to the eclectic offering of established and up-and-coming DJs."
Melina Cohen, writing in the latest bulletin from the American Atheist Association, notes that, perhaps ironically, most atheists and agnostics in the United States are closer in their values to the gospel of peace and tolerance preached by Jesus of Nazareth than the radical right of the Republican Party. Ms. Cohen notes that fundamentalist, gay-bashing and money-worshipping fake Christians are active in the Trump administration and that these vocal people are a threat to other Christian groups. For example, she notes the gospel of justice preached by Marianne E. Bude at Trump's inauguration earned the ire of the Republican right, who even called for her to be deported. Ms. Cohen concludes, "Bude's sermon, which again was very biblical, absolutely outraged the Christian nationalists. The entire situation, from those first uncomfortable squirms in the church pews to the full-blown tantrums that came later, has laid bare this movement's hypocrisy and histrionics. The Christian nationalist powers that be are already denying things we see with our own two eyes, distorting facts we know because of science, and destroying our shared sense of reality. They'll say something, do the opposite, vice versa, ad nauseam. That it's dizzying is deliberate, that the oppressive agenda that they're pursuing is not popular, democratic, or even particularly Christian are not things they want us to notice. Quick, look over there instead."
In the Welsh capital Cardiff, the queer emporium shop and cafe is facing the January blues with panache. They are open about how difficult life is for small independent and cooperative businesses in a late capitalist economy. In a press release, though, they hit a positive note, showing how people can support them. They write, "January is a notoriously difficult time for retail, and this is compounded by the state of the overall economy. It is rough, and we are experiencing the effects of these factors quite dramatically as a small queer non-profit. So we're going to need some help to change this. Help to combat these effects as best we can. And here are a few things they suggest you can do. Come and grab a coffee, a hot drink, a bisexuality, and anything from the drinks menu. Even once a week makes a massive difference. You could buy a ticket to one of their events online. Pop in to try a brunch menu and baked goods. Browse and purchase items in store from LGBTQ+ vendors from across Wales and beyond. Hire the building out for your private event and donate to the Queer Emporium Foundation to help keep the pay It Forward Fund, community programs, and this independent LGBTQ space going. They started as a pop-up in June 2021 and was only supposed to exist for a month. That was extended to 3 months. Well, it's now 4 years later, and they are so fortunate to still be going. This, they say, has been thanks to you. Ideally, they say, we would love to go on for 4 more years and beyond. To do that, though, we just need to be utilised. So please come visit in Cardiff, say Shammai, and do just that if you can. And we can make sure it all happens.
China Radio International on shortwave reported on Wednesday that it is Chinese New Year and that we are entering the Year of the Snake. Perhaps this is significant given the inauguration of the new president in the US. Celebrations for the festival will go on for the next 2 weeks, and we wish all LGBTQIA people of Chinese or Southeast Asian background a splendid and a prosperous year to come.
Well, that's it for LGBTQIA plus news this week. So much more is happening, though, so keep abreast with your local LGBTQ plus media this week. Why not check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt to kick off.
For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter,
Terry Starr,
and RB Fenchurch.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Right, we'll let Terry recover and get his voice back. We'll be back in a minute.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, that's a bit divisive, that one, wasn't it? Just talking off air. That's Meghan Trainor and being like this. I like that.
I do too.
Yeah. But your friends don't?
No.
No.
And I don't think James does. But,
so who do you like then? If you were picking a song, what would you pick?
Well, I do like Chapel Rowan. So the song before.
Oh, right.
So just Pink Pony Club next week. All three songs. I
played that this week because...
And another one.
Lucy's a massive fan. Pink Pony Club.
And Red Wine Supernova.
As we know from the pole dancing in the middle of the studio.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that you could move like that. Incredible.
So now from pole dancing to swimming.
Very similar.
Of course.
So it's lovely to welcome our next two guests, Mike and
James.
There you go. No.
Yes, it is. Sorry, James. That was me getting confused.
So, and you're both from Out to Swim. Now, I've heard of you because I've seen you nominated in things like our awards a few times. But for listeners who've not heard of you, do you want to give us a bit of an intro to who you are, how you started, and the kind of things that you do?
So we are a swim club based in Bristol. We're an inclusive swim club, so we are predominantly for the LGBTQ plus community, although we're open to anyone. And yeah, we're an offshoot of a club in London, which has a long history, started in the 1990s. And then in Bristol, a branch of Out to Swim was begun around 6 years ago. Literally just a couple of people meeting in a public pool, swimming in a lane together. And fast forward 6 years, we've now got nearly 100 members. So we're literally going up all the time.
I was going to say, because I looked and it said 80. It's gone up to 100, has it?
Yeah, so we had 4 people join in January. We've got, I think, another 4 stacked up for February. So it's really popular. And either that or everyone's doing their New Year's resolutions really well.
Do you find that, though? Do you find it goes up and down a little bit with that whole January? Everyone's like, right, I'm going to get fit on this.
I think there is a bit of that. It sloped off towards Christmas. But January and February, everyone is definitely back on it.
Now, can I ask you a serious question? How easy are you finding it to find pools to do it in? Because from experience, and I'm just speaking for me personally, I find it really difficult to find one that's got a time that's convenient for me around working a normal job.
So we are, well, it is difficult. So as a club, for any club, I think swim clubs, to find space in pools in Bristol, it's just not very easy because there really isn't that much lane space available. We're very lucky. So we swim at the University of Bristol mostly, and also Jubilee Pool in Knowle.
Right.
And so we have set times of the week and sessions that we swim there. So it's mostly the evenings for us. But yeah, I think pools are pretty booked out. So when we've ever tried to... So we've expanded a lot in the time that we've been running. But whenever we have, it's always been a bit of a fight to try and grab the lanes because there's other clubs, there's schools, there's the public. So it is busy, which is a good thing for swimming pools, but hard if you actually want to get into one.
Well, unfortunately, we keep losing pools as well, which doesn't think helps, does it? So that's certainly...
Keep your finger on the pulse. So our swimming co-chair... regularly in touch with folks like Everyone Active, who run places like Bristol South and Easton. James and I are both kind of East Bristol massive, and a lot of the swimming happens the other side of town, so we're still kind of looking for this little East Bristol nugget to come along, but
so I'm trying to think.
There's the River Avon. That's in East Bristol.
I have swum in the river at Conham River Park. Not sure I'd.
But you like that 11th toe, don't you? You're fine.
Have you ever thought of encompassing swimming with a pole?
What, combining all of our passions?
I don't want to do the risk assessment on that one.
No, I can imagine.
One for the future, maybe.
Yeah. Now, you said you're 80 strong. Does that mean it can't be 80 every single week when you get together, I'm assuming? What's your kind of like average?
So it depends on the sessions. So probably across a week or two, we'd have all of our members probably doing at least one swim. But we have some people come a couple of times a week. So at sessions, we'll probably have between sort of 20 to 30 people, depending. Sometimes we've got the whole pool, sometimes we've only got a couple of lanes, so certain ones more popular than others.
Midweek seem to be the hot spots, don't they? So people have kind of had a good fun weekend, you got Monday out of the way. Wednesday was always the kicker, that was always the big one. So we managed to expand recently from 3 to 4 lanes on that one.
Yeah.
And that seems to run pretty full most of the time.
Yeah.
So midweek is strong, definitely.
But it's amazing how much people are willing to commit to coming to the club, to swimming, doing it a couple of times a week for lots of our members. So I think it's become a really big part of people's lives, actually.
Well, it's a great, I mean, I'm a massive, massive fan of swimming myself, you know, but I mean, it's just an easy thing you can do, and in this country it's something you can do year round as well, isn't it, with indoor pools, which is a big thing. But so is it about getting fit, is it about meeting together, but what's the premise behind it?
It's really different, isn't it, for different people. I think it's all of those things. I think swimming is, we sort of call it like the gateway into it, but actually I think it's really about community. So a lot of people join the club because yes, they do want to get better at swimming, but if you look at the members of our club, you've got some amazing swimmers, and then you've got some people who are coming back to swimming after a really long break, people who might describe themselves as almost kind of like beginner swimmers in a way. So we have the complete range of ability, but I think the thing that sort of gets us back together is all being there at the same time and people feeling like they can come to that pool, they know that session's going to be welcoming and safe. And for lots of people it can be intimidating to go to any new club, let alone a swim club. You might not know people, you may not feel confident in yourself, in your body. So for people to turn up and I think know that they're going to be welcomed, happy, it's going to be all right.
Well, that was going to be my question, because you know, a lot of people, you know, especially like people like the trans community as well, get very self-conscious about their body. And of course, it's one of those, you can't jump in with a full-on tracksuit on. You've got to kind of like be appropriate. But so, what would my first experience be if I was to come to the club for a first night?
Well, it's naked photos first, on
and then photos
of the swimwear. I wasn't gonna join, but I might now.
Well, if you want that pole, you know, you've got to be in it to win it.
You can't work for it, yeah, absolutely. Okay, naked photos then.
So initially what we do, so we have a bit of a wait list. I think our wait list is a bit of a Bristol joke in the LGBTQ plus sporting community, because it's rather long. But you would initially get 3 taster swims. You can kind of use up just to come along, see what the club's like, see if it is something you're going to be interested in. We do have members, we have trans members, we have non-binary members, and we really are trying to increase our kind of engagement with those communities to make everyone feel welcome at sessions. Things like obviously segregated sex changing rooms, kind of accessibility to the pools has come up recently as well. But initially we kind of reach out and try and get people to feel as welcome as they can when they first come along. Right. And then if some people are joining up after 2 tasters, some people are doing 1 and they're saying, I want to come in now, let me in. So initially you kind of get, and they're free as well. We don't charge for the tasters. So
I think one thing we always say is that if you come for a taster session, someone will always meet you there as well. If it's your first time coming to the club, there will always be someone who will be there to say, I'm this person, welcome. Do you have any questions? Are you going to be all right? How are you feeling? Because I think it can be really intimidating just joining any established group or a group of people that you've not met before. So I think that's something that maybe is overlooked sometimes. It's almost it's like, especially for adults, it's sort of like, oh well, you're a grown up, you can sort of get on with
just
it,
jump but, in and be fine. But it's not like that, you know. So it's really nice to hear you do that, because there's nothing better than knowing there's going to be a smiling face when you turn up and you're like, I don't know anyone and I'm a bit shy. And
I think when it comes to, for a lot of LGBTQ plus people, sporting circles in general, I know for me personally there was certain trauma associated with school, kind of whether it be the changing rooms or not feeling included in sport or not feeling that I could kind of express myself through sport. And actually, to me, this, it's a real kind of flipping it on its head. So it's really important that it's a really positive vibe when people come along, because for a lot of people, there are going to be previous traumas around the sporting kind of circles.
Yeah.
And so if that's kind of an anxiety kind of element that people are coming with, thankfully, we've lived experience in the same kind of thing. So it, I really hope that's been a big thing for me. It's been about, right, a big kind of middle finger up to trauma from the past surrounding sport, and a kind of, you know, scream it from the rooftops, and that's kind of part of it as well.
I mean, of course, I mean, we've had some very well-known people like Tom Daley. It's the first one that springs to mind, is very openly gay. He's diving more than swimming, but it's a similar kind of thing, you know. It's, so
I reckon he's a pretty good swimmer.
Oh, I think so,
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why.
Send him along.
So, if not, he's a very good knitter as well.
He's a very, very good knitter.
Knitwear does well in a pool. Doesn't get heavy at all.
You do have to wonder when he does it, if it's a little bit soggy after he leaves, because he does it by the side of the pool, doesn't
he? He does,
Other question I can imagine people asking, do you have to be able to swim?
So, yes, is the short answer. So you have to be able to swim. I think what we say is you have to be able to swim at least four lengths in a swimming pool, ideally without stopping. But we know that that can be a bit of a barrier for people if they literally haven't swum at all or not very much for a long while. But we do set that because with the number of people you've got in the pool at the same time, you want people to be able to at least continually swim a little bit. And a lot of people have actually started pretty much from that baseline. And it's amazing how much people improve and how quickly that can happen. But yeah, so that's
But you're not swimming instructors, it's more the point.
Pardon?
You're not swimming instructors, is more the point.
Well, so our sessions are coached. So all of our sessions are coached. So we will work with a set. We might be working on a particular skill or a drill, or we might be preparing for, some of our swimmers enter competitions, might be getting ready for that, or it could just be endurance. All of the sessions of the week seem to have, or tend to have, a different focus. But that's adapted. So what someone's doing at one end of the pool might be quite different to what a group of swimmers are doing at the other side. So it's very much tailored to sort of what people's ability level are and what they're comfortable with.
We have discussed at committee this year, especially about what is the provision for the future. Can we potentially offer lessons? Again, it's kind of restricted by pool availability, but it's certainly something that is regularly on the agenda at committee meetings, and it will be that next big step. What we've done the last year especially is spent time building up our coaching body. So we have our main coach, and then we have kind of coaches that will work underneath Jenny. And so it's kind of getting that infrastructure in place first.
Then if we
can have the pool time and the lane time and the resources to offer lessons for people that maybe wouldn't be able to meet that initial requirement, it's nothing's off the table, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I only ask you, I'm a firm believer everybody should be able to swim. I don't want to say simple skill, but it just to be able to swim could be potentially life-saving for someone. You know, and it's not easy when you're an adult finding somewhere to do it, let alone somewhere if you're LGBT that's friendly. So, yeah, that'd be brilliant if you get into that too.
Are you signing up?
I live in Bath, so I probably won't be, but I do think it's an amazing thing to be doing. And you are sort of reminding me that I'd love to get back into swimming, and you know, that's a real positive as well. So anybody who's listening, you know, this club is incredible and a safe space.
But Bath has got a swimming pool, hasn't it? And that's just East Bristol.
Yes.
It's just a suburb.
There is something I wanted to talk to you about as well, which is an event that's happening in February.
Yes, indeed. So, hi, this is Mike, Social Sec. Social Sec for Out.
He's on now. He's on.
Basically, I took on the tenure of Social Secretary 2 years ago. And I just wanted to kind of have these kind of landmark events throughout the year associated with the club, some internal, like, for example, we have our own sports day in the summer. We have obviously Christmas party. We do things like we have bowling nights. We do the board games cafe. So all these little things. But I wanted like an annual focus event where we could fundraise, basically. And we are a registered charity, and I'm very familiar with Brigstow, who are based in this very building.
Not anymore, I'm afraid.
No,
they moved out.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's me school.
down the road, literally. Yeah. They're not far.
We'll make it up Brigstow with loads of lovely money raised at the ball. So on February the 8th, in the evening, at the South Bank Club in Bedminster, is the second ever Love is Love Ball. So this is our attempt. Initially, it was to bring, and it still is, to bring all of the LGBTQ plus clubs, organisations, communities together under one roof. So that's, whether that be the sporting, creative, social, you know, coffee meetup groups. To raise money for Brigstow, to kind of to get to know each other. And it's nice when you see familiar faces, and the number of these community events are increasing in Bristol. And so the more familiar people are with, you know, people from other groups, that can only be a good thing for kind of creating, you know, collaboration and community. And also I'd kind of been watching, this is quite laughable, I've been watching the Met Gala on Instagram, and I was like, I think Bristol needs a little kind of Met Gala effort.
Gert Lush Gala.
Gert Lush
Gala.
Trademark that.
Can we change the name?
The Gert Lush Gala. Well, who knows? Who knows? But and so I just initially thought I want an event where people can kind of dress up a little bit. Mm. It's not a formal event at all. So, for example, last year we had Monochromatic as our kind of dress theme, and however you express yourself is perfect with us. So this year, the theme is just colour. So if you, you know, black is a colour, yes, I get it. But if you have anything that is on the
colourful
on the spectrum of the rainbow, get it out, dust it off, stick it on, and come along. Basically,
that needs to be on the poster.
on the Gert Lush Gala. Yeah, get it out, dust it off, stick it on, come along.
To the GLG.
We just created a whole business here. That's great.
Cool. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful talking to Perry. It's so nice to see it grow so fast as well, and long may it go on. One more thing before we finish, because we're rapidly running out of time. People do want to find out more about you.
Yes.
What's the easiest way to get hold of you if they're interested and want to come along?
So if you want to find out about the club, go to just Google Out to Swim. There's a website for the whole club, and there's a Bristol section on that. You can find out more about it, get some information. You can join the wait list. It's not too long, I promise, but you can click a button and join the wait list. And if you want to find out anything more about the Love is Love Ball, check out our Instagram page. There's lots of information on the socials.
Yeah, so we are Out to Swim Bristol on Instagram. Also, tickets are available on Head First. They're priced at £15. We're rapidly running out of the £15 ones. Then it goes up to £20 for the second batch of tickets. And also, we have more information in Bristol 24/7. Recently, we had an article published, so that has more information about the ball as well.
Brilliant. Cool. Thank you very much.
Stay in touch with us and keep us up to date with what you do.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
But for now, Out to Swim. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. I'm back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Trouser Dress. I played one of their songs last week. They sent us a couple, so I thought I'd shove this one in to me. That's good. Coffee at 7.
They're very good, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Very listenable.
Oh, hello, Terry. You're back.
I'm back.
We thought you kind of died during the news.
I've got a very nasty post-COVID.
Yes, you have.
You know, the sort of cough that are just tickling and hang around for months. I had COVID, you know, and I've had COVID several times.
Yeah. But you used to tickly things in your throat.
Wow.
Right, that's a clip.
There we are. That's one for the Christmas party.
I think we've just clipped the Ofcomometer again into the red. It's usually Alad that does that.
Well, I think we're lucky that some other community radio stations in Bristol are in more trouble with Ofcom than BCFM.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can change that. Love a challenge.
If you are a listener, actually, of community radio, I wonder why SWU is off.
Bye, SWU.
Great station. But the ownership rules of Ofcom have kicked in, and they're concerned about the one community station can't own another, you see.
Oh,
but
right.
Rinse FM down in London own SWU, which was done in pure broad daylight, and Ofcom missed it, and now they've noticed. So that's the reason there's a bit of an investigation going on.
I didn't know that
there.
Was a thing.
Yeah, no, but yeah, you've got to be totally independent if you're a community radio
station. They breached the rules many times anyway previously, haven't they?
Lots of community stations do, in fairness. It's not my
point. Yeah, I guess this show does.
I think as long as it's all
shown, it's just indicating that gay men get more cold.
As long as you.
As long as they have the dirty minds.
That's it. In Britain, with our broadcasting rules, you can say quite a lot, but as long as it's all in the dirty mind of the listener or viewer. You know, Mary Whitehouse, God bless her soul, could see a lot of things in it. But as long as nobody
had the filthiest mind,
she did, didn't she? Yeah. Dreadful.
Isn't that the infamous description? Well, I'll know it when I see it.
Yes, absolutely.
Slippery little suckers.
Mary Whitehouse, if you don't know, was a morality campaigner who took gay news to court and actually caused the owners of gay news to be handed prison sentences for publishing an erotic poem. In
1976.
Oh,
good Lord.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, she wasn't popular in the gay community.
I'm sure there's a documentary on one of the streaming channels about it. It was fascinating to watch because she was so, like...
She was very homophobic.
Yeah, and relentless as well at the stage.
They were those people in the sort of Blue Ridge Brigade they were called.
Yeah, a bit like J.K. Rowling is to the trans community today.
A bit like that, quite fixated. Yeah.
Hatred.
Quite fixated.
Yeah. I don't know how they don't get bored with themselves. Because being angry all the time is exhausting. Have a day off. Chill out, do some yoga. I just don't get it.
Touch some grass.
Or follow Steph and do some pole dancing.
She's got some very angry thumbs.
Spin on a pole,
JK. Chill out.
Go for a swim. So, I thought they were lovely. I thought it was a very good interview.
I thought they were really lovely too. Yeah, it'd be nice to have
like,
them.
He was like,
oh,
are you tempted? I was like, yes, actually. I really, really enjoy swimming.
I am too, yeah.
You know? And then he said he got waiting list. I'm like, well, if I can pole dance, can I jump the waiting
You'd
list?
You'd be in by March. I reckon. Yeah.
In the pool by
in
March.
In the pool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about going back to the gym I was at, actually, because I've got all the kit. I just need to sort out some prescription goggles.
Is it Lycra?
I've got an Olympic swimming costume because it looks quite non-gendered or androgynous. It's like something you would wear on it. Oh, I don't know how to explain it. It's all joined together and it's got shorts.
It's Olympic size.
Yeah.
Okay. Like an old-fashioned swimming costume.
Basically, the modern version by Speaker.
That's it for this week. Nominations have now closed for the awards. Stay tuned. We'll let you know who's in the finals in a few weeks' time.
I think I've got a different script. All the info you need, plus the forms to nominate, is all on our special website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
And as I say, we'll go live in a few weeks with your finalists, which will be great. We'll catch you same time, same place next week. From me and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.